Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. That's a verse from Deuteronomy 33:27. I've been talking about the home in which I grew up and the principles that governed that home from my book, The Shaping of a Christian Family. I know that my parents asked for divine wisdom every day. And those of you young parents who may be listening to this program and thinking, oh, I would like to establish an ordered and godly and peaceful Christian home, I'm not up to it. I can't do it. I didn't have that kind of a background. I don't know how to go about it. You know, the Bible promises, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So prayer is the key. Pray about everything. Pray about every single decision concerning your children. Pray for your children. Pray with your children. Don't forget to pray with your children. Pray with them the day you bring home that baby from the hospital. When I was with my daughter recently, and she had her newborn in her lap as she was nursing him, she was reading the Bible out loud to him. I know my parents asked for divine wisdom. There are different ways of issuing commands. I hope that my descriptions of my parents don't come across as being rigid and regimented and reserved and anything but loving and kind. There are many different ways of issuing commands, and my parents never raised their voices. A calm, matter-of-fact, and loving manner is much more likely than a stern and imperious one to inspire willingness to obey. But there are times when love is refused. Mother was certainly calm and loving in telling my brother Phil that he only needed to drink his milk before he got down from his high chair. Psalm 107 is a tale of the Lord's mercy, which endures forever. And it's at the same time a tale of the people's willfulness and disobedience. He redeemed them from the hand of the foe, but they got lost in the wilderness, they were hungry and thirsty, and they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way, filled them with good things, but they rebelled against him and ended up in prison and forced labor. Again he brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains, yet some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They lost their appetites, nearly starved to death, cried to him again and again he saved them, sent forth his word, healed them, rescued them from the grave. The story goes on, his long-suffering, his patience, his far-reaching love. At last, they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. And Psalm 107 ends with these words, "Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord." What an example for parents. Mercy with justice. I want to read to you a prayer for those of you who may be feeling just a teensy bit discouraged by your own failures in the past, by the fact that you haven't done what you really meant to do with your family, and maybe your family has even grown up by now, and you no longer have the opportunity to shape them. Here's a prayer that I was sent by a friend, which helps, I think, in our weakness. Dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I hold up all my weakness to your strength, my failure to your faithfulness, my sinfulness to your perfection, my loneliness to your compassion, my little pains to your great agony on the cross. I pray that you will cleanse me, strengthen me, guide me, so that in all ways my life may be lived as you would have it lived, without cowardice and for you alone. Show me how to live in true humility, true contrition, and true love. The Bible says that love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. If only we could grasp how patient, how kind, how loving our Heavenly Father is. If only we could remember that it is His long-suffering, mighty, everlasting love. He who chastens us, not for revenge, but for a glorious reason. Do you know what the reason is? Why does God allow suffering, chastening? Because He wants us to share His holiness. If we could just get that through our heads, I don't think we'd respond with such petulance. The love of our Heavenly Father is patient and kind. He loves us too much to let us go our own way. And there's a hint for you young mothers when your child turns to you and says, "Why won't you let me do this? Why won't you give me that?" The answer is because I love you too much. I know what's best for you much better than you do. Now, your child won't necessarily believe that, but you can just be continually telling him in every way you can think of, "I love you, and the reason we have rules in our house is because we want our house to be a place of order and peace. And as long as you live in this house, you are going to cooperate, and we'll all live together happily and peacefully." There are so many wrong ideas about God. I want to do everything I can on this broadcast to point you to the true God, the loving God, the Father God, the one who gives us strict rules, stern commandments, but always gives us the grace to obey and the joy that is the reward of obedience. Wrong thinking about God leads to wrong thinking about His actions. If deep down in your heart you bear any shade of resentment against God because of the way He has treated you, that resentment can easily be taken out on our poor little children. Failure to see divine discipline as evidence of divine love can lead to a wrong and consequently very destructive idea of disciplining children. God's not out to get us or get back at us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He is our refuge when we are afraid, our strength when we are weak, our helper when we can't cope. Anybody listening today that feels as though she just can't cope another minute, He's your helper. He's your strength. Just take five. Maybe you can go into another room and just sit down quietly, open your hands in your lap. Surrender your feelings to God and ask Him to be your strength, your refuge, and your helper. You know, you can't be refuge, strength, and helper to your children unless you can find your refuge and strength and help in God. You're to stand in the place of God for your children and let them know that you're not their adversary. Parents expressing their love for their children by physical warmth and tenderness contribute to their children's comprehension of God's refuge, strength, and help as attributes of Him. Parents' faith in His perfect love and perfect sovereignty lays the foundation of the home in which the child is growing up. Their object for him is happiness and fulfillment. You know what God's purpose for you and me is, as expressed in 1 Corinthians? It's according to His hidden wisdom, His secret purpose framed from the beginning to bring us to our full glory. That's what God wants. One day when our baby Valerie was a few weeks old, Jim sat down in a reclining chair and laid her on his chest, murmuring into her little ear and patting her. After a while, he thought that she was asleep, and he fell silent and dropped his arms to his sides, just sitting there quietly and enjoying the slight weight of this tiny child on his body. She lay quiet for a moment or two, and then all of a sudden she let out this tremendous wail. Jim laughed and clasped her immediately in his arms again and assured her of his presence. Not feeling his hands on her, we assumed that she must have lost her sense of belongingness, and she thought that she had been put down by herself, forsaken, when the truth was she was lying as secure as ever on her father's bosom. So it is with us. We can't always feel the presence of our Father God, but we must trust that his promise remains true. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. That's Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Is there somebody in the laundry doing the laundry right now? Or somebody ironing? Somebody driving in a car to work? Somebody coming home from work who's feeling extremely discouraged? Somebody at work who's feeling as though God has forsaken him or her? He will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. Five negatives in the original of that verse in Hebrews 13:5. Nothing trains and teaches so powerfully as love. Love attracts, it does not coerce. If the aim of the parents is to teach their children to love God, they must show their love for him by loving each other and loving the children. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Help us today, Lord, we pray, to trust in your character, in your absolute and unchanging word, and to rest in the confidence that you will never leave us. Help the parents who seek your help to rear their children in a godly manner. In Jesus' name, amen.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.